Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Taking off on tonight, I want to talk about the second part in the fruit of obedience. When we talk about the fruit of obedience, I want you to understand something about the fruit. The fruit of obedience. When you say the fruit of anything, you're talking about something good. You're talking about something that you're going to enjoy. The fruit of something. The fruit of, I want you to know that when you get obedience as a lifestyle, you will start seeing the fruit of that in your life and you'll enjoy it. And I think a lot of times we don't understand the importance of obedience because we only understand it from the framework of we have to. And so it's an outward approach instead of an inward approach. And I was talking about this last week. Obedience is not just doing something outwardly. It's the combination of you having it in you. I want to do this. See, now there may be a time in the beginning of your Christian life that you're changing over from the way you used to be and you're trying to die to some old ways. And I just, Sundays used to be going to the lake or sleeping in or getting work done. And now I've got to go to church every Sunday. I'm telling you, there's a season after getting saved that there are things you do out of obedience on the outside that's not in you yet. I get that. But you can't stay there forever. There has to get a point in your life where it's in you, there's a want to inside of you, and the reflection of what's inside of you becomes what's outside. You're not fooling nobody when you're only doing something out of obedience because you have to. Parents know that. When a child does something because they have to, and they're doing it, and they're like, that child is so obedient. Everybody watching a child that's doing something because they have to and they don't want to, you're thinking they're only half obedient. They're only doing it because they're going to get whooped if they don't. But it's not in them. They don't want to do it. But when you see a child that does something because they want to, it's the right thing, and it's inwardly what they want to, is there not an overwhelming joy? Wow! Did you see what that young person just did? And you're just amazed by it because it wasn't done because they had to. It was done because they wanted to. It was an inward and outward combination of obedience. And we've got to get that before we understand that the fruit coming is not going to be coming into your life just because outwardly you tithe. See, everybody watch me walk up front. I wrote my check. Everybody here probably doesn't know exactly what it was, but they saw me come up there. My family knows that I'm doing it. And it was all outward, but inside you're going, boy, I could use that money somewhere else. I don't really think that but when I'm so glad I can write this today, and my tithe check, and now my offering check, and oh, wow, I'm just so excited about this, and going up here, God, thank you that I'm in a position now of obedience, not because I have to, but I get to every week be a part. See that, and I'm not just talking the tithe, Sunday mornings. Get up, everybody, come on, we got to go to church. That's an outward obedience, but I'm telling you, ain't nothing inward about that. And mom and dad, if that's what you're saying, there won't be very long that your kids are saying and thinking the same thing. We have to go to church. See, that's what we have to do. We're doing that out of obedience. I know there's a lot of things we'd rather do, but if you maintain that attitude the rest of your life, you only have an outward obedience and you only half the way there. You heard the term, delayed obedience is still disobedience. I'll do it right later. I'll go to church starting in September. Because the summer, that's the weekend's mine. Or I'll go to church because I have to, because our kids got to take notes and I don't want them to have to make them up. Now, Pastor, you're meddling. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. I'm going to go through these just real quick. I'm not reading all that I read last week. But verse 8 says, therefore, be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. Verse 9, if you obey, then it gives you all the things. Verse 8, you get strength. If you obey, you'll enjoy a long life in the blessing. Verse 13, if you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love God and you serve Him. So that one's saying obey, love, and serve. What that's telling you is it needs to not just be obedience on the outside. It needs to be part of your heart, and it needs to be a want to serve people. I'm going to obey, I'm going to love, and I'm going to serve. And if you do all this, then He'll send the reins, the things that will grow your blessing. He's going to send what it's going to take to grow your blessing. Jump on down. Verse 18, commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Verse 22, be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord. Walk in His ways. There we go. Obey, love, and do. Obey, love, and do. Get it in you. Verse 27, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. Are you seeing where Deuteronomy is just full of saying, well, you got to be obedient. You got to be obedient. Last week, we talked about areas of obedience that we needed to walk in, and we talked about four fruits that obedience brings into your life. And the first fruit we talked about is being obedient gives you strength. Gives you strength. And I'm not going to go back and reteach all this. I just know that we all need some strength. Come on, if you've been out in the heat all day now, you need some strength, right? I need a strength this morning. You're going to have it tonight to stay awake. You'll have to wake up. I watched Mall Cop last night. I should be able to stay awake in something that funny. My wife kept turning around, and I'd just, you know, that was, come on, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Number two, obedience will bring longevity. Longevity to God's blessing in your life. See, being obedient will give you strength, and being obedient will bring longevity to the blessing. Doing the right thing produces for you over time. But it's doing it time and time and time and time again. And we talked about last week having the umbrella of protection. When we go out in the rain, we take an umbrella. We do that because we don't want wet. We want the blessing of God in our life. And we understand that the blessing and provision that we want and desire in life has all to do with our response. How are we responding? What are we doing? Well, I'm just waiting on God to bless me. What are you doing in the meantime? Are you being obedient? Are you being obedient? You get outside of obedience and you remove yourself from the blessing. And here's where I ended last week with this statement. There's nothing worse, young people, and those of you that remember back when you were younger, there's nothing worse than coming in and your mom and dad saying, you have lost my trust. I don't know if you've ever heard that from a mom and dad. You've lost my trust. If they say that, more than likely, you know what you did. However, our favorite phrase at the time would be, what? What'd I do? And then the parent says, you know what you did. What? You're going to force mom and dad to tell you. Because that's just the way, as young people and immature, we're going to make them reveal what they know about you that you've kept in secret. Let me just tell you, if you're really quiet and you're saying, go ahead, you're going to have to tell me because I don't know what you're talking about. Here's the thing. That probably means there's more than one. There's more than one thing you're hiding from them. There's more than one thing. If you just reveal the one thing, but if you didn't reveal the one thing, they're thinking, mom and dad's thinking, uh-oh, they don't know which one, and I only know of one. There may be more. Let me tell you, God knows all of them. God knows all of them. And we get concerned when we lose a parent's trust because we know that trust is earned. Don't put yourself in a position to lose the trust of God. God has entrusted you with some things for the kingdom. Now understand this. He wants you to prosper and he wants you to be a part of all that he has for you. And he has entrusted you. He has entrusted you to take his name and make it famous. But how many times do we mess that up? And I can't tell you the amount of people in my life that I've heard say, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, well, you are. My prayer is that no one ever thinks that when you say it. See, are you trustworthy with the things of God? And let me say, with people, it's important as a Christian that you earn the trust of people. Young people, earn the trust of your leadership. Earn the trust of your parents. How do I do that? You don't get tired of doing the right thing. Galatians 6:9, I believe, says, don't grow weary in doing right. Don't get tired of just doing the right thing. Here's what I'll tell you. Doing the right thing over and over and over and over again in one day isn't enough time. It's over and over every day for the next 70 years, 80 years. See, but stay in position so that you can receive the blessing God has. God's plan doesn't change, but oftentimes his people will remove themselves from the blessing of his plan because they don't stand under the protection of his plan. The children of Israel, they just seem to continually mess up. And know this, as Christian people here, we understand, come on, if you've lived at all as life of a Christian, you understand a mess up. Oh man, I messed that one up. I mean, because you can look backwards and see real clear. Well, I messed that one up. That was just, oh man, I can't believe I. The children of Israel would continue to mess up. They'd do real good for a little while and then wham. What happened? They just messed up. But you know, it never changed God's plan. God's plan was still there. They removed themselves from the blessing of the plan. They said, I'm not doing the plan. But God didn't do that. He didn't remove them. They did. And I'm just to the point where people blaming God for stuff. And we got to get to a place in our life where we understand the blessing of God comes through obedience, staying hooked up, working hard every day for years, loving God, loving people, and serving. I mean, that's what Deuteronomy's talking about here. And one day, you'll look back and you'll say, after many years of doing that, wow, look at what God has done in my life. You'll look back and go, wow, the blessing of God in your life, just walking in it over time. Over time, will produce for you. Number three, I've only got four. We'll see if we can get through three tonight. Obedience makes it possible for God to do what we cannot. Obedience makes it possible. I don't know about you, but I have walked into things that after I looked at it, that was impossible by my own means. By what? I mean, that couldn't have happened without the touch of God. I've just seen it happen too many times. Dreams that I had as a child, and I look back now and I'm, wow, I could not have made that happen without the touch of God on my, I don't know how that happened. God's finances are way bigger than mine. God's blessings are, God's peace. I don't know how I walk into peace. See, I can look back and I can see how I went through storms or seasons of life, and how did I get through that? The touch of God. I can always see where God moved supernaturally on my behalf was in the areas that I was obedient over time. It was obedience over time that all of a sudden I thought, wow, wow. If you will carefully obey all of the commands that he gives, he will send the rain. If you will obey all the commands, he will send the rain. Now, you got to think about that. You can't send the rain. To get the blessing of the fruit, the produce, it takes the rain. And you can't produce the rain. And I just want you, if you hear nothing else tonight, know this. God sends the rain. The rain is necessary for the growth of fruit. You don't do the rain. God does the rain. I'm spending some time here because I just really want this to sink in. You need an umbrella because you can't turn off the rain. Have you ever tried? We tried. Monday. I even prophesied about it on the way to Silver Dollar City. It started pouring down rain Monday. And I said, that's all right. When we get in the parking lot, it'll quit. That was my prophetic statement. You know what? We got in the parking lot and it still rained. It was still raining. And then we had to get out. And my wife was having to run to get under the shelter because she didn't want her hair frizzing out. See, that's an important thing. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Sorry. All of us are just walking, getting wet, going to a little shelter to wait on the tram. And it's still raining. But I said it's going. All I know is, there was a promise in Scripture that we see rainbows now, and God said he wouldn't flood it, so I knew it was going to stop. I just didn't know when. But I knew it'd stop. Sure enough, it did. It just took a while. But you know, I couldn't turn it off. I just stood on the promise of God. I can't turn it on. I can't turn the rain. I just can't do it. I'd love to, but you just can't. And if we're going to be dependent upon God, we have to understand he's in charge of the rain. What? The rain is so significant. Come on, you're praying for fruit in areas of your life, and you need to know what sends the rain is obedience. So when you're obedient, you will then get what is necessary from God for the fruit to grow in your life. It's obedience. For God to do something we can't do, it takes obedience if you'll carefully. I can't make things grow. It's outside of my control. So I have to depend on God. I just can't do it. You know, you can't make a hard heart soft. You can't. You can't change what's going on with your spouse. And you think you can and you can't. You can't. You can't restore something that was taken away, but God can. See, we have to understand there are things we can't do, but there is still a God. There is still a God, and we have to live knowing that. And obedience brings about the fulfillment of his promise. It brings about the fruit. See, only God can make certain things happen. I've seen it happen time and time again. There was nothing going on, and then God. And then God. And then God. I don't know. And then God. I would love to explain. Come on, but then God. When it's dry and it looks like nothing's going to grow in your life and I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm going to be obedient. You can find me at the feet of the cross. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to love people. I'm going to serve people. And I'm going to be obedient to the Word. And I can tell you that dry will have rain because it's going to produce fruit. Fruit's coming in your life. It's out of obedience. Boy, I'm trying. Keep trying. Don't quit. Don't grow weary in doing the right thing, because in due season, you'll reap a harvest. And it won't just be one little orange. It'll be enough to satisfy you. Isaiah 43, are y'all hearing me tonight? Verse 16, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves. They drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Whoo, that gives me cold chills. We talk about how magnificent it was that the children of Israel crossed, and I mean the they all drowned and all this stuff, the armies of Egypt and the chariots and the horses. Can you believe what God said? That ain't nothing compared to what I'm gonna do. That ain't not, you ain't even seen what. What are you believing God for today? Come on, as I've been preparing this week, I've had 3 different phone calls this week asking me to pray for somebody. You know what a privilege it was to get those phone calls? For me to hit my knees and say, God, I want to intercede right now on the behalf of somebody who's in desperate need of you to move supernaturally. God, I'm believing you. The thing I want you to know is, if I'm going to pray for fruit, then there needs to be obedience that's already happened. There needs to be a love for those people that I don't even know. And there's got to be a servant's heart. And when I get those things happening, then I can see God move supernaturally. What are you believing God for today? Don't give up. Come on, don't give up. God has activated his truth through the word to work in your life. I want you to believe that. Let me just make a statement. What is true will last forever. Think about that. What is true will last forever. God has activated truth through the word to work in your life. If you're going to believe the word is true, then there is an activation process that has to take place for that truth to flow, to produce. What is true lasts forever. Let me give you a word my mama said a lot, and you've heard me say it. God is watching everything you're doing. Young people, you need to know that. God's watching I don't say that to scare you, even though that was the wording that was given to me, to put some fear. God's watching you, Ashley. God's watching me. I grew up, and I don't know if you know this about me, but I like to be watched. I played Mighty Mite football. And every time I catch the ball, I'd look over at the sidelines to see if anybody's watching me. I had to make sure their eyes were on me before I would run. And sometimes I get tackled before I get anywhere because I had to make sure they were seeing that I caught the ball. I remember one time a coach of mine in Mighty Mites football, Jerry Tiemann was his name. I caught the ball. And I mean, I had it. And my coach yelled, "Ashley, your mom's watching, run!" I did. And I thought I could run really fast, but I couldn't. And I didn't make it. I never made it. But I was sure glad that somebody was watching. Drew, you still awake? Good. I don't even know where I was. The obedience of God, the obedience of your life to the things of God will allow life to produce for you. It will. And here's the thing. God's watching you. Yes! Because if you're being obedient, you want somebody to know. And you don't have to go around and say, "Mom, did you see what I did? Did you see what I did today? What did you do today? Well, come here and I'll show you." I can't tell you how many times when I've done something here, I'll tell my wife, "Babe, come jump on the floor. Come see what I just did." And I want her to just pat me on the head. "You're so good, little boy. I'm so great." What I'm telling you is if you'll be obedient, you don't have to have anybody else's attention. God's watching you. God's watching you. You just need to know that. The fourth one and the last one, we're going to get through with this tonight. Obedience can protect you. It can protect you. See, it'll strengthen you. It'll bring you longevity in the blessing. God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And number four, it will protect you. Disobedience, let me just tell you, gives Satan legal access into your life. Let me say that again because it's very important. Disobedience gives Satan legal access into your life. I don't want him having access to my life. And the way that I keep him from that is walking in obedience. God has a predetermined plan for your life, for you to advance his kingdom. And God wants you to stay in that because there's provision, there's favor, there's blessings, there's protection. I'm not here to say you're never going to have a bad day. There'll be bad days. But know this, you'll have the peace and the joy and the armor to get through it. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. I got three scriptures here. I want to read you. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil, poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and he said, I'm doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. That was chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, Saul turned, he started to leave, and God gave him a new heart. And all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw a group of prophets coming toward them. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy. 1 Samuel chapter 22, you jump on forward in that book, verse 17, talking about Saul here. He ordered his bodyguards, kill these priests of the Lord. What? What? In chapter 10... God gave him a new heart. And he saw prophets coming and the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul. Wait, chapter 22, verse 17. Saul ordered his bodyguards, kill these priests of the Lord for their allies and conspirators with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me. Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priest. Then the king said, you do it. Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests and all still wearing their priestly garments. Then he went to Nob, the town of the priests, killed the priests' families, men, women, children, and babies, and all the cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. What happened here? Saul, the king, he's gone haywire. What did he do? One act of disobedience. One act of disobedience. Let me tell you, when you read what he was doing in chapter 10 for the Lord, I'm telling you, Saul never thought one day I'm going to kill a bunch of God's people. I'm going to kill his priests. One of these days I'm going to turn against the things of... If you open the door of compromise one time, it can overtake you. One time. No one I know that has been on drugs, and I know a lot of them, but no one I know that's been on drugs... I don't know, not one of them ever thought when they took that first one that one day this will destroy my life. That one compromise of the first time. My family has dealt with drunk drivers several times. You preach against drinking. No, I'm just telling you, I have enough experience to know that if somebody would have told that one man who hit my family, and two different times, two different men, drunk, could have killed my family twice. The hand of God was protecting them. I believe that wholeheartedly. But if somebody would have said, leave this stuff alone, that one time, well, I can handle it. Those two couldn't. They couldn't handle it. Their whole life messed up. I don't have no use for it. Why? Because if I okay it, then somebody else's family might get hit and somebody actually die from it one day. And I'm not going to ever be responsible for that. So it's not something I'm... That first act of disobedience, just one puff, just one hit. It's just a little. No one knows. The only problem is there's no such thing as just a little disobedience. Moral failure is not the result of a blowout. It's a slow leak over time. You just need to know it. It never entered Saul's mind that this was going to happen. Facebook, Instagram, one friend you shouldn't have befriended. Little things can get you messed up. Everything that God has for good, the devil has a perversion for it. Pay attention. You got to stay protected. The word and being obedient to it is protection. The devil is looking for a way to get in. Don't let him. Stay obedient. Deuteronomy 11:8, be careful to obey every command. If you obey, you will enjoy a long life in the land. The land was the blessing. So how do we walk in obedience? How do we walk in obedience? We know the word. Come on, we know the word. We know the word and we're in church. We're sitting under the teaching of the word. We're listening to podcasts. I know a lot of people who, in my mind, they're just as obedient as they come. They just are. I mean, anything that they're doing, I just think, man, there's some obedience. Well, I think a lot of people thought that about Saul. I'm not saying don't get counsel to someone who has fruit, but make sure you're not just seeing obedience outwardly. Because if you're looking at someone else and saying, well, they're obedient, wait till you see the fruit tree that's bloomed in their life and there's fruit coming out and you're watching them eat of it, and then go talk to them about what they're doing to get that. Because I'm just telling you, a lot of times we look to, how is this person obedient in this area? And I'm saying that's good counsel, but look for the fruit of obedience. Make sure you have it in your life before you start giving counsel. Just important. Commit yourselves completely to the words of Scripture, through the words of mind, he says in verse 18, put them everywhere. Put them everywhere. Do you have Scripture everywhere? I love walking into a house and seeing Scripture on the wall, and then I read it and I think, wow, there's fruit of that Scripture. But is there nothing more discouraging when you walk in somebody's house and you see a Scripture on the wall and you think, huh, wonder if they ever read that? The fruit of obedience will be seen when you actually do what the word says. That's what I'm talking about. Nothing is better than the rewards and blessings of God. Come on, he has a lot for you. It doesn't just one day happen. It's day in and day out doing the same thing. Come on, doing the same thing every day over time, and you'll look back and go, wow, I'm eating some fruit right now.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.